Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. I just like the sound of that. That's not today's lesson. Let's go to our Father in prayer before we get into the lesson. Precious Lord, Holy Father, dear God, thank you so much for providing us with the basis for unity, providing us with the connection to you through Jesus, the perfection of your word, the beauty of his sacrifice, the completely, wonderfully eternal truth of your love, how joyous it is to get to grasp pieces of your love on this earth and to be reminded and taught and told that your love is beyond our understanding and wonderfully eternal. Father, help us in this lesson to get out of your word that which we need and help us to have soft hearts, submissive to you in all things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 133, behold, how good and pleasant for brothers to dwell together in unity. It's the last verse of that psalm that I want to teach on today. Verse 2 echoes verse 1 with a different description of the real pleasure it is to be united. And by the way, if there's any disunity in your life with any brother or any sister, don't let this week go by without going to work on it, going to solve it, approaching that person, talking to them about it. Satan can cause more damage with our little crumbs of disunity. He'll cause chasms of disunity. So don't let it linger. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forever. It's interesting that at the end of a psalm that talks about unity, that talks about brothers getting along and dwelling together, we're given a blessing from God, or at least a reminder of a blessing from God, eternal life, life forever. And it's the idea of eternity that I want to talk about in today's lesson. Eternity. Eternity is not the length of Robert's lessons. They just seem like they're an eternity. We'll get that part out of the way early. God provides us with descriptions of all kinds of things that are eternal. All kinds of things are eternal. Before we get there, I'd like you to go to 2 Corinthians. Starting in verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal. It's interesting, the last two songs that Perry led for us, to Canaan's land, I'm on my way, where the soul of man never dies. I will spend eternity where the soul of man never dies. Everlasting joy is sung in that song. And just before that, we sang Beyond This Land of Parting. Parting, losing, leaving, toiling, sowing, reaping, waiting, seeking, sighing, bereaving, moaning, pain, sickness, dying. Now, I love life, and I'm no pessimist, but life is hard. Things are painful, and you decay. Before you die, you decay. You think after you die, it's okay to decay, but the problem is this body begins to wear out before you're ready. It does. And the aches and pains that you felt getting out of bed, depending on which side of whatever age you want to draw the line on, shows you what kind of decay. Though our outer man is decaying, verse 16, our inner man is being renewed day by day. Miss Billy's body said, that's enough this week. But her soul, her heart, her inner person was being renewed every single day she lived. God's blessings, His mercy is brand new every morning, we're told in Lamentations. We have received brand new forgiveness from God, brand new mercy from God. Our maturity can continue to grow. Our faith can grow. All of the important things can grow. So because of this thing, and because the troubles of this life are just light and momentary, and I wish we had time in the lesson to go back and read about all of Paul's whippings and beatings and scourging and shipwrecks and danger and death that he faced, how many times he was near death, stoned nearly to death, etc., etc. And he says, this life's troubles are light and momentary. I mean, light and momentary is you burned your toast in the morning, you know. No, Paul's light and momentary is they nearly stoned me to death. I was able to crawl away. Paul's light and momentary troubles was the story we read about out of Acts 16, where the robes are ripped off his back and he's thoroughly, soundly beaten and thrown into prison. Those are Paul's light and momentary troubles, but he knows what he's looking for, and what he's looking for is eternal. What he's looking for is beyond this land. It's eternal. 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 Interesting word. But let's find some things that God says are eternal. I'm going to jump through several scriptures so you don't have to chase me down here. But in 2 Samuel 7, Paul says, God says through Nathan to David, thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee, and your throne shall be established forever. God tells David that his house and his kingdom and his throne are forever things. Forever. In Judges chapter 2, God reminds the people that I will never break my covenant with you. God says that his promise is forever. And of course, that comes from Genesis 17, when one of the times when God gives the promise to Abraham, he tells him in Genesis 17:17, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant. It's for eternity. Verse 8, I will give you and your descendants after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Deuteronomy 33 tells us that we have an eternal God. The eternal God is a dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. In Numbers 25, God promises that there will be an everlasting priesthood. And in Psalm 21, David writes, "For you make him most blessed forever. You make him joyful with gladness in your presence." So let's see what we just added up. We just got the house of David is eternal. The throne of David is eternal. The kingdom of David is eternal. God's promises are eternal. God's covenant is eternal. That God's gifts to us are everlasting or are eternal. That God himself is eternal with eternal protection. That he'll create an everlasting priesthood. His priesthood is eternal, and his blessings are eternal. That's a good list. That's a good list. God's eternity, the magnificence of his gifts upon us. You want to add one more? Something we just talked about not too many weeks ago. Upon David and upon his seed and upon his house and upon his head, there shall be peace forever from the Lord. God's peace is eternal. God's peace is eternal. So what is eternity? Eternal. We have a beautiful list of things surrounding the very nature and character of God called eternity. You ever heard the Aunt and the BB description of eternity? You remember that one? I've heard that a few times in lessons over the decades. That if you gave an ant a BB, okay, and you had him and he could walk around the equator of the earth, that'd be a tough BB and a tough ant, but okay. Ant and a BB walking around the equator of the earth. Well, that guy begins to push that BB around the equator of the earth and begins to form a groove. Okay, you got to be with me here, you know. Ant, a groove, walking around the equator of the earth. Forget the oceans for a moment. Ant and a groove. And when that little guy forms that groove and forms that groove and forms that groove, and finally he splits the earth in half because he's worn out the earth. Okay? Forget the physics of it, all right? You haven't begun eternity yet. You want something closer to home? Your job is to catalog the leaves in Alaska. Okay? All the leaves out here, they're turning beautiful shades of gold and brown and all these beautiful bright colors. So your job is to collect every one of those leaves and catalog them by size, dimension, color. Okay, that's all the leaves across all the forests in Alaska. When you've done that, you haven't begun eternity yet. And you can cross-catalog them after that. You could count the grains of sand. You could collect and paint the grains of sand on the globe, on all the shores, on all the oceans, on all the globe, and you haven't started eternity yet. There's a problem with all of those descriptions. There's a problem with all of those descriptions. And they sound a little bit like Robert's lessons. They go on and on and on and on. Anybody like doing the same thing on and on and on and on and on? Eternity in that description doesn't sound all that wonderful, is one of the problems. I mean, I'd get tired of watching the ant push the BB after, you know, a couple hundred yards. Forget the groove and dividing the earth in half. Our God is an eternal God. We just read about that. And his qualities and his nature and his characteristics are eternal characteristics. But eternity doesn't mean, from God's perspective, that he just goes on and on and on and on and on through time. You see, we're stuck in this time thing. And you know, history class, last period of the day, goes on and on and on. It's the longest class of the day, right? Whatever class it is. Because we're stuck in this concept of time. What we're really being given by God is not the never-endingness of time. We're given by God freedom from time. That we don't go through time anymore. It truly is everlasting. It truly is eternal. But it's not eternal as in tedium or tedious. It's eternal as a freedom from time itself. And about the only way I can... How good are your memories? How far back can you remember? Do you remember when you were a little bitty guy? Do you remember? I have a little bit of feedback here, Brady. Remember when you were real little? The earliest memory, one of the earliest memories I have is of my parents buying me a balloon at a carnival. And my mom wanted me to tie it around my wrist, and I wouldn't do it. I could hang on to it, and then I couldn't. And I remember bawling, just crying, just weeping as I watched that thing disappear into the sky. Now, I don't know how big I was. I had to be less than three. I had to be less than 3 years old when that happened. So I can go back that far. Anybody go back farther than that? Two? One? 6 months before you were born? Because that's how far back I want to go in this description here. If you can remember floating around before you were born, that's the perspective I'd like us to grab hold of for a moment as we think about the difference between where we are now and where we'll be with God in eternity. Because as much as you understood about life in your mother's womb is about how much we understand about the character and nature of eternity with God in heaven, in my opinion, if you don't mind me throwing that in. If you could communicate with that little baby and say, "Oh, it is so cool out here. You'll love it. We have cute animals. Someday your mom or dad will get you a puppy." And you could convince that little guy that he'd have a puppy, and he's sitting there all warm and settled and floating around, and you say it's furry. Furry? Why do I want anything furry? I'm surrounded by water. I don't want anything furry. I don't know what furry means. I have no idea what that concept is. In fact, I like being alone. That's all I know. I know nothing about any other thing. But it's so beautiful. The light out here. Light? What's light? Well, you've got eyes. Yeah, I know I've got eyes. But what do I want to do? You open them up. Why would I want to do that? Oh, but the mountains are so beautiful. Mountains. Yeah, they go way up high. High. You see how little that little guy, that guy understands? He doesn't understand climbing. He doesn't understand walking. He doesn't understand light. He doesn't understand color. He doesn't understand beauty. He understands warmth. He understands floating. And he understands mom's heartbeat. Ka-thunk, 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 ka-thunk. But you try to get him to understand the beauty of this world around us, the wonder of playing with a puppy in the backyard, how terrific it is to sit on your mom and dad's lap and listen to a story, how delicious some foods taste. Oh, you'll love ice cream. It's cold. Cold? Forget it. I know I won't like that stuff. You see how ill-prepared we are, in my opinion, to grasp hold of this idea of unity. The poets have said, "I don't want to spend eternity with a bunch of boring duds like those Christians. I'd rather laugh with the sinners," you heard this line, "than cry with the saints." Hell's got to be a whole lot more fun, because have they any concept, have no idea what we're talking about. we are way off being able to identify what we're talking about. There's a freedom from time that God gives us. And in Psalm 136, this is given to us over and over and over and over and over, and let me count, over and over and over and over. 26 times we're told in Psalm 136. 26 times. What's the greatest thing you can think of that you get to experience all the time? Is it not love itself? Is it not love and relationships itself? It's what makes your heart go pitter-patter when you see the young lady go down the hall at school. It's what makes your sigh deep and your countenance warm when your husband or wife walks into the room. Maybe you didn't expect to see them, and they came to meet you for lunch or something. You get excited. There's nothing like love. And the word given to us in Psalm 136, verse 1, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. And that word, loving kindness, in some of your versions might say mercy, but it's that completely wrapped up word of all of the wonderful and kind things that one person can do for another. Which is why loving kindness is used. It's all about mercy. It's all about forgiveness. It's all about connection. It's all about care. It's all about paying attention to somebody and being with them and meeting their needs. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God of gods, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His loving kindness is everlasting. To Him who alone does great wonders, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Our everlastingness with God, our eternity with God, is all about the love of God. It's all about the wonder of God. It's all about the beauty of God. It's all about the gifts and promises of God. This idea of eternity, the Bible tries to underline it, tries to get us to understand it more and more. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Now as to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. We get to bring God glory forever and ever. God's glory comes through us as His church forever and ever. God's glory gets to come through Jesus Christ forever and ever. Eternity with God is nowhere near boredom. By the way, if you have a problem with boredom in this life, like, you know, during one of my lessons, and problem with boredom in this life, it's a mindset. You just need to think differently. Boredom is a choice. Boredom, like anything out there, is a choice. And you can choose to be bored, or you can choose to be connected and engaged. So, don't be bored. Connect yourself. Think. Act. Do. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and then we'll wrap up here in a minute. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. We know David in his stumbling mistakes embarrassed himself and his life, seriously hurt and damaged people in his family and across his nation. But he had an understanding of God. He had a praise for God that you just want to reach in his heart and grab hold of. David was quite a man. And listen to these words. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10. So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly. And David said, "Blessed are You, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord. You exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. One of the things we find connected to the word forever and ever is praise to God. That God's name can be praised forever and ever. That's a common theme in Psalm and other Old Testament scriptures. David understood. David has it. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty forever and ever. And what he does with all that is he strengthens us and cares for us and loves us with it. I don't know what it'll be like to be in God's immediate presence, but that's our eternity. That's our joy. It's not tedium. It's not just on and on and on and on and on, cataloging one aspen leaf after another and a birch tree and a whatever cottonwood leaf. And it's not tedium. It's not watching an ant walk around the earth. It's magnificent, loving, glory and joy. That's our time with God, or our eternity with God. Matthew writes in chapter 25 about the sheep and the goats. And at the very end of Matthew 25, he quotes Jesus saying, Matthew 25, 45, Then he said to them, truly I say to you, the extent that you did not do it to the one of least of these, you did not do it to me. These will go to eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. In 1 Peter, we read that we have eternal life in Christ. It's life. It's really living. It's not just existence. The two options you have at the end of our time here is eternal life and eternal death. We know life now and we see death now, although we don't quite understand either one of them. But we're given this option of eternal life, which is described as eternal blessings, eternal joy, participating in God's eternal love. And we're given the other choice of eternal death, which is described as eternal punishment. And in Revelation, the smoke of their torment, Revelation 14, verse 11, and the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. They have no rest day or night, those who worship the beast in his image. Those who choose Satan. Those who would rather ignore God and take their own path here also have an eternity. But it's the eternity that was intended for Satan only, for Satan and his angels only. It wasn't intended for us. It's an eternal punishment. It's an eternal fire. It's an eternal pain. Imagine that jailer. Imagine that jailer we just read about a little bit ago. Terrified. His responsibility was to keep those prisoners in. They all had escaped, he assumed. What Jay read a while ago in our reading. They all assumed he escaped. He assumed they all escaped. And so he was going to take his life and step into eternity. Paul stopped him. We're all here. Stop! I mean, this is drama on drama. This man almost stepped into this eternity. And in humility, the man fell before Paul and Silas. And it wasn't very long after that, he taught him Jesus, and he and all his household were baptized. He went from an eternity of pain to to an eternity of joy. Eternity. It's a beautiful and magnificent concept, but only if we take the eternal life that's offered to us in Christ. Today, if there's any here who are ready to do the same thing that jailer did, humble yourselves before God, obedient to His word, being ready to be baptized into Him. If you have that need or any other need that we can help you with, please let us know while we stand and sing the song that Perry has chosen.